Continuing where we left off this morning, not quite, some of you weren't here this morning. Hallelujah. We are going to continue with that lesson, though, and it's something that the Lord taught me quite a while back. The title I put on that face-to-face encounter that day was The Unbounded Soul. How many of you knows we're going into revival? How many of you know that He loves us too much to leave us the way we are? Your spirit man was rebirthed at the moment of your conversion, at the moment you received Jesus. That same spirit of life that raised Jesus from the dead was imparted to you. And you were quickened from death to life in an instant. There is a new man on the inside of you. He is called the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit which is of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, when you were first born of your mother, you were born with the spirit of the world. And that's a little less. You were born with the nature of the world. But when you were born again, God imparted His Spirit unto you. That's the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus that has made you free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. Now what's amazing to me is that happened in an instant. And that spirit man on the inside is created from the get-go, Ephesians 4 will tell you, is created in the image of God in righteousness and true holiness. The real, you're not having any trouble really with the real you. That spirit man on the inside of you, that spirit woman, that spirit being is created righteous and holy. It is in contact, in fellowship with God through the Holy Ghost. There is leadership available to each and every one of us through that new creature on the inside of us. Now, I don't know if we'll get into the candle of the Lord today or soon, but we will soon. You know, the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. We keep thinking the mind of man is the candle of the Lord, but it's not. God is not, nowhere do you find God is a mind. No, God has a mind. But God is a spirit. And if you are His child, you are a spirit. Now that spirit that's in you is not even of this world. It is from a realm. You can call it where God lives. You could call it heaven. You can call it the kingdom of God. Here recently, within the last year, I've been teaching about the fourth dimension, which I'm not going to get into much today. I used to think heaven was like a planet far away. I know now it's not like that. When it says, in Him we move and breathe and have our being, I'm telling you now, if you can't see what I'm doing, I'm holding my right hand right up next to my face. When He says, I am with you, He is right here. He is with you. He is. It's a realm we can't see with the natural eye unless He opens. You remember in the Old Testament? I remember the servant's name was Gehazi, and he was all worried because the Syrian army, if I remember correctly, had come with thousands upon thousands. And here's the prophet and Gehazi. Gehazi is worried out of his mind. We're going to die, we're going to die. And the prophet prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And when his eyes were opened, he saw that the mountains were full of chariots and angels. And yeah, there was a lot of Assyrians there. But the prophet says, there be more with us than be with them. How many of you think that has changed? It hasn't changed. I'm telling you right now, there be more with us than be with the enemy. There is a whole realm that we can't see with the natural eye. The natural mind can't really perceive it. But your spirit, the real you, is from there. And it has full capacity to understand the things of that realm. And if you haven't noticed, the physics, the physical laws are different in that realm than they are here. And when you can impose the physics of that kingdom upon this world, water changes to wine, blind eyes open, walking on the water, devils are cast out, all kinds of miracles happen. Now, the problem of it is that happens by faith. Faith is the, can I say, currency exchange between the two realms. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's why, okay, yes, sir. Now, we're not going to turn to these scriptures. I taught these this morning. So you've come in on part two. So I highly recommend that you, when this 8:30 teaching is made available, get it and listen to it, but you're going to be okay. But I'm not going to tarry on the things that I spoke about this morning, but I have to mention them to bring us up to where we're going during this hour. Okay? The unbounded soul. See, the difficulty is not in your spirit. The difficulty is in the soul of man. Now, we are a three-part being, just like God is a three-part being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You have spirit, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. If you doubt that, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the Lord. So say it with me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. My body is not me. My body is not the boss of me. My soul really is not me. That means my reasonings are not the boss of me. My emotions are not the boss of me. My fears are not the boss of me. I live by my spirit. That was a good message. You're dismissed. Hallelujah. If we could ever get there, right there, we're in revival. I'm telling you right now. Revival comes naturally to your spirit. It is the most natural thing. Your spirit is not surprised when miracles happen. The realm that your spirit is from, that's as common as us breathing the air. We call it a miracle here, and it is a miracle here. But it's not a miracle there. It's just what God does. Your spirit is not surprised when the blind see. I think your spirit's surprised when they don't. Now, our soul has got to catch up with our spirit. See, we're not changed by just the new birth. It says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your what? Renewing of the mind. And the trouble is, man has tried to renew the mind mentally, trying to understand and figure out God with the natural brain. And this morning we looked at verses that says that is absolutely impossible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells you it's impossible. The natural man, or you could say the natural mind, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. Now, even though your new man, that new creature on the inside of you, is born righteous and holy, it is not born all-knowing. And that's why God gave us a teacher. His name is the Holy Ghost. Now, your spirit man is born perfect in righteousness. From the moment you are born again, there is a conscience on the inside of you. By the way, you ought to make note of this now. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. And your spirit is the candle of the Lord. Your spirit is the channel. It is the way that God, the Holy Spirit, communicates with you. Primarily. Now, once in a while, that's good enough for today. But your spirit is the candle of the Lord, and He communicates with your spirit. He is teaching your spirit. But when it comes to the things of righteousness and holiness, you're born from the get-go with power over sin. We know that because Jesus lived 30, 30 years before he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Well, how did he do that? By the power of the new nature alone. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What does that tell you? If you have that same Spirit on the inside of you, and Romans 8 says you do. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost. It's talking about that same new nature, that same life that quickened Jesus from death to life. That same life that he was quickened with, nothing diminished. You were quickened with that same life. So many places the teacher in me wants to stop. But I can't, because we're going somewhere. Now this morning we talked about the man that brought his lunatic son. Remember the one, some Bibles say epilepsy. That spirit would throw him on the ground and he would wallow and foam at the mouth. It would throw him into the fire, throw him into the water, trying to destroy him. The disciples tried to cast it out and they could not. Jesus comes and in short order he cast it out. You remember that? Now in the process of that, the father of the child, when the disciples couldn't cast it out, he come to Jesus and he says, if you can do anything. In other words, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't. If you can do anything, please help us. Jesus turns it right back around to him. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. See? Well, he says, I believed. Lord, help thou my unbelief. In other words, if I didn't believe at all, I wouldn't have brought my boy here. But I've come to the end of what I can believe. Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. And he did. And I don't know how many times I've prayed a similar prayer, and the Lord has helped us also. He is merciful. But see, he doesn't always want us living in that, right on the edge of, I can't believe. He wants us to allow his Spirit to retrain our brain until we think like God thinks. Where all the limits come off. He was teaching me about that in this lesson called The Unbounded Soul. And I'm just going to read it up to where we finished this morning. I'm not going to give you the examples because he's got more to get. We're going to go beyond there. Okay? This was at the Ugly Building quite a few years ago. I was spending a lot of time in prayer in those days. He said to me, if suddenly you could take flight today with the eagles and soar high above the earth, high up into the heavenlies, think about how all of the perceptions of your soul would immediately change. Can you picture, all of a sudden you're flying. All of a sudden, he's trying to get something across to me. All of a sudden, I'm flying with the eagles. I'm way up there. You ever seen them? Man, they can really go high, you know. And I'm up there and I'm looking down. What? Would that be a new experience for your soul? He said, things that were impossible yesterday, like that, the soul would never perceive as being impossible again. For now, you would have experienced what was impossible to you before. There would even be some fear as you looked down and saw the earth beneath you. But at the same time, there would be exhilaration because of these newfound abilities. No longer impossibilities, but now doabilities that were never even conceived as being possible prior to this event. So it is with the unbounded soul, the mind of Christ. The soul where all of the limits have been taken off. The soul that is free to soar with my Spirit. The soul in which all things are possible. It is for this reason that the training by the teacher, capital T, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. The training by the teacher must flow through the Spirit to the soul. For the soul of its own accord has no ability to comprehend these things on its own. But the spirit mind can comprehend these things and be taught these things directly by the Spirit of truth sent from heaven. Now, to verify those two verses, he says the mind has to be retrained through the Spirit. Did you get that? You could go, we're not going to do it in this one we did earlier. I'm just going to read the verses. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Another reference would be Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, he is created that way. But you still got to bring what God has done for us on the inside at the new birth. That has to come to the outside. In Romans 12:2, Paul said it this way, that you be no longer conformed to this world, but that you be transformed by the renewing of your spirit. No, it's by the renewing of your mind. See, well, many people take that to mean it's a mental exercise. No, your mind has no natural capacity to understand the things of God without the training coming through the spirit man first. Did you get that? Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24 says again, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, you have a natural brain. They've got Einstein's in a glass jar still. They studied it because they wanted to see what was in it. I think they cut it and so forth. But anyway, we all have a natural physical brain, and there is a natural mind given by God to understand the natural things on this planet. This is why I don't have to be led by the Spirit of God to know when to change the oil in my car. This is a natural thing that my brain can understand, you know. But what about understanding that realm beyond our natural senses? See, your spirit man is from that realm. Your spirit man can be taught from that realm how to apply the physics from that realm to the physics of this realm. Now, it already knows about righteousness, holiness, but it has many things to be taught, and that's why God sent the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again, it says, now that we've received the Spirit which is of God, now we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. We speak not those things which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Amen? So the Holy Ghost has come to teach us. So that training is God the Spirit directly to your reborn spirit. And then once your spirit understands it, it's really your spirit that turns around and starts instructing the natural mind. And through that process, the natural mind can be retrained, and where you no longer think like the world. You think like a creature from another world that you really are. And things that were impossible before are no longer, things that were impossible before are no longer impossible. Now they are possible. And I like this word, doable. Doable, I like that. We're coming into revival, which is a move of the doable. Amen? All right. Can't linger there anymore. Going on with what he told me that day, he said the limits are coming off of your soul. Why would he say that? Because at that time, now, I was spending lots and lots and lots of time praying in the Holy Ghost, meditating the New Testament in whole images like David taught me. I think at this point I had started assimilating the New Testament. I was doing those things. And so in that process, he says, the limits are coming off of your soul. And again, think of the change that would occur if you suddenly could take flight with the eagles. The eagle's mind thinks it not impossible to soar high into the heavenlies. Yet the eagle's mind is limited concerning many things that are possible for man to do. So it is in the natural soul. There are limitations constrained by physics, the laws of this natural world, through observance of circumstance. But the spiritual mind has no such limitations. The spiritual mind can be taught directly by the Comforter. That information can be digested, processed, and delivered to your soul in such a way that it removes the limits that presently constrain it. Okay. Understand that every time a leap of this magnitude is made, what you would call a quantum leap, what others call a paradigm shift or an epiphany, once experienced, the soul can never return to its former lowly state. You remember Dave's story of one of the first miracles that he did, and he prayed, he saw that lady's hip. You remember that? It was at a religious conference of some kind, and the great orator was at the platform. Yes, Lord, thou art the great bridge between God and man. You know, and Dave got so bored he was shaking his coffee cup and watching the ripples for excitement. You remember that? Now, all of a sudden, he saw this lady's hip. He didn't notice her come in, that she came in with a cane or a crutch. Now, I may not quite get that. But she had something that... But he saw this lady's hip, and it looked like something was wrong with it, like a disease. And he says, "Lady, ma'am, you're having trouble with your hip." "Yes, I am, sonny. Do you mind if I pray for you?" And she probably thought later, after the conference in the confines of his home, "Well, sure, you can pray for me," but he didn't take it that way. He jumps up, grabs both ankles right in the middle. The guy's still orating, you know, and grabs both ankles and pray, "In the name," you know. And right there, the leg grows out and her hip is okay and she stands up. Now, if you remember that story, they tried to talk her out of it. Now, "I've been healed. It doesn't hurt anymore. I've been healed." They tried to talk her out of it. And she hit the dude with her cane. See, once you have received it, your soul passes into another realm. You can't go back. But religion is going to try and take you back. I'm telling you right now. We're going into that realm, and we're going into it all the time. I'm telling you, miracles shall become natural, even to your natural mind. Because our natural soul is going to be retrained to think like the children of God we really are. Okay. All right. He says, many of these experiences are coming upon you during this season. The soul is the servant of the spirit. Now, he's talking about my soul now, probably not yours. The soul has fought you hard to remain in its position of lordship over your spirit. Well, my soul never does that. Oh, really? Did you ever make a decision you're going to pray for 4 hours? What do you think your spirit man does when you make that decision? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Fireworks and banners. I get to spend the next 4 hours just being taught directly by God the Holy Ghost. This is the best day of my life. I've been waiting. I can't hardly wait for this 4 hours. This is wonderful. You start into it. And surely 1 hour, you figure, surely 1 hour has gone by. Glance at your watch. 10 minutes. Don't tell me that your soul doesn't start trying to take lordship over the decision that was made. And it starts coming up with all these reasons why you have prayed long enough. This is important. That's important. It's trying to take lordship over the decision that you made. Well, let's carry that further. You know, I'll tell this one again. In Ocala last year, I prayed for this lady, you know, had a short foot. I didn't realize how short till she sat down in the chair and extended her legs out. And, oh, my God. It wasn't, I mean, I've seen the Lord several times through my hands before, you know, adjust a back, you know, adjust it maybe a half inch or an inch, see the leg grow out. This one was a good 4 inches, and I'm not exaggerating. It was a good 4 inches. Right at that instant, before I even prayed, as soon as I saw it, my first thought was, I wish Dave was here. Then when I prayed and nothing at all happened, I didn't see that thing budge an inch. I mean, nothing. And I was really praying then, I wish Dave was here. Found out later that the little pastor lady who loves us, for our sake, when she saw it not grow, for our sake, she was praying, I wish Dave was here. And my natural soul so much wanted to quit and go on to the next person. But I thank God for the training I have from O.R. Carpenter. I just don't really have any quitting sense at all. You don't quit till the job is done. And I'm telling you, I said, I don't care. I'm staying. That leg has to obey. I don't know what all I said. I said everything I knew to say. Leg, you obey the name of the Lord. Now you grow out in Jesus' name. I don't know what all I said. Finally, the slightest little perception, it moved. How much did it move? Have you ever watched grass grow? You ever waited and watched while paint dried? Slow. I'm telling you, so slow. But a little by little, that thing grew out. Finally, it was the same length as the other one. Man, we all started rejoicing. But what we didn't find out till later, that she said, no, you don't understand. That wasn't just a back adjustment. I was born that way. I was born with that leg shorter than the other leg. God had to create bone and tissue for that leg to grow out like that. What do you think my soul now thinks? Bring on the next one. I'm not going to go back. I've already seen it happen now. Not just seeing it now through Dave, and I thank God for all of those. I've seen it through these hands that I know about, these hands. You're going to be seeing it through your hands. And much more than that. Okay. So he said to me, probably not you, your soul has fought you hard to remain in its position of lordship over your spirit. But endurance and perseverance are crumbling the resolve of the soul. And when he says endurance and perseverance, he means in prayer. And even now, it is bowing the knee to the lordship of the Spirit I have placed within you, which truly is made in the likeness of Christ. Continue, son. The limitations are coming off of your soul. Your soul shall be the soul of meekness, the soul of humility, and the soul that knows no boundaries. Amen? Now, to get a really perfect example of this, go to Matthew 14. Should have already had you turn there. I apologize. This is a really good example where the soul, if it had lordship over the Spirit of Jesus, it would have stopped Jesus from doing what he was about to do. But in this one, we're given some really good details that help us understand how Jesus had a soul with no limits. His soul never restrained what God wanted to do. His soul knew it was the servant of the Spirit. So let's read the whole thing first here now. Matthew 14, we'll start in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in a mountain apart to pray. Now notice, when the evening was come. What time of day is it? Evening. I would think twilight, wouldn't you? When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them in a rowboat, swimming in the water, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They would be today. They were saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. What? What? He, Peter, walked on the water? Don't try it if you don't hear the Lord say, come. But like Dave says, I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. I like that. But if he says, come, now right there is where the soul comes in. When Peter was come, okay, so he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But now notice, when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. All right, let's really meditate here for a minute. I know this is a very common story. Let's pause and really meditate. Jesus had been teaching the multitudes. If you read what had happened, he multiplied the loaves and fishes again and fed the multitudes. And then he dismissed them. It was getting dark. And he tells his disciples to go ahead and go over to the other side. So Jesus is there alone. And he's praying. And so it's nighttime. All right? So it says, verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Now I want you to get a picture. What kind of a night is it? This is not a clear night with a bright moon where the sea is like glass. Whether it's raining or not, we're not told. But there is at least a windstorm. And usually when there's a windstorm, there's clouds. So I'm thinking it's a dark night. The moon is probably obscured. And the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, now I went and looked that up just to make sure. This is according to the Roman division of the day. Remember, they were under Roman occupation at the time. The fourth watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Is it dark at 3 a.m.? 4 a.m.? 5 a.m.? It's dark. Okay, so we know what's going on. They were in the midst of the sea. That sea right there where they're traveling across is 5 miles across. Everyone say 5 miles. Now, I did another research. It's called the viewable horizon. I looked it up. Like in the ocean, if you're in the ocean where there's no mountains or anything, if you're at sea level or if you're on the sea, what is the distance you can see to the horizon? It's 2.9 miles. What I want you to get by that, if they were in the midst of the sea, they were out of sight, even if it would have been daylight. But it's nighttime. Now, you got to remember, Jesus did not do anything he did as God. It plainly says he laid down his divinity. Now, and he was God, but he laid all that down. Everything that we see him doing, he did as a man led by the Holy Ghost and empowered by the Holy Ghost. So here's his disciples. They left a long time ago. Now, just to, so you'll know how bad a storm this was. When it says the winds were contrary, it means contrary to their progress. They're trying to get to the other side and the wind is opposing them. It's contrary to the way they want to go. If evening, you know, I don't know what season exactly. I'm sure some scholars have figured this all out. But let's say it got dark at 8 o'clock. Okay? I don't know. Sometimes it's 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I don't think they had daylight savings time then. Let's say 7 o'clock. I don't know. Just pick, say, maybe it gets dark at 7. 8, 9, from then until 3. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. At least 8 hours. They've been trying to get to the other side. It's only 5 miles. They've been 9 hours trying to get there. And it says that they're in the midst of the sea. This is a bad storm. I try to picture in my mind what the waves must have been like. And it's dark. Now, put yourself for a moment. Let's put ourselves in the place of Jesus. You're praying, you're alone, you're on the mountain, everything's good. Suddenly God says, I want you to go to the other side. Okay, you walk down off the mountain, you come to the sea. It's dark. It's probably a cloudy night. It's windy, very windy. I mean, it's blowing. The sea has got to be going like this, waves crashing onto the shore. If it's contrary against the direction they're going, it's coming towards you, right? So there's got to be surf crashing onto the shore there. Now, just take the natural soul. I mean, Jesus had a brain like we got a brain. But the difference is his was renewed by his spirit. So he's standing there. What do I do now, Lord? It's dark. Well, I want you to walk across to the other side. No, just say first, I want you to go to the other side. What does your natural man do? Where's the boat? Where's the boat? I don't see any boat, Lord. You must be... What? No, I want you to just walk to the other side. In fact, your disciples are in trouble. You might need to go check on them. I don't know exactly the conversation. We're meditating. I don't see them, Lord. Well, they're out there. Trust me. Now, it's nighttime. In the, not only walking on the water, but you can't see where you're going. You can't even see the other side. I don't know if he went like this up and down on the waves. Have you meditated this stuff? Or whether where he walks, it's flat and everything else is wavy. I don't know how it happened. I'm trying to put myself... See, this is where the limits of the soul are. God says, well, just step out on the water. Just walk. But Lord, it's water. And Lord, it's dark. I can't see where to even go. If I 5 miles. What if you get out there 2.5 miles? You can't see which way. You can't see the shore in any direction. And the winds are boisterous. It's the waves are strong. You think our soul has a little bit of renewing to be done? Yet, that spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and somehow the Lord guides him right to where they are. Right to where the disciples are on that sea. And he walks right up. And I bet they were afraid. What is this? It's got to be a ghost of some kind. They probably read stories, you know, about, you know, luring sailors to their death on the rocks and stuff, you know. No, it's I. Be not afraid. Okay. Then Peter. Don't we love Peter? Thank God for Peter, right? Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And I think the Lord went, well, it's me. Come. What's he going to do? Say, it's not me? It's me. Come. And on the strength of that word, something happened in Peter's soul. Because he loved Jesus. He trusted Jesus. Now, Peter made his living on that same sea most of his life. If anybody understands the sea in the natural mind, it's Peter. But he has been watching Jesus. He has seen supernatural things already. And he says, at your word, I am disregarding everything I know about water, everything I know about what floats and what doesn't float. At your word, I am going to step out of the security of natural circumstances, the boat, and I am going to step on the water. And it says Peter himself, at least for a ways, he walked on the water. And he was not yet born again. And as long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus, and it didn't matter that the waves and the winds were boisterous, it did not matter at all. What mattered was keeping your eyes on Jesus, doing what he said, and he said, come. And as long as you stay fixed right there, that is the soul of meekness. That's the soul that has the limits taken off. Says, I'm going to obey what the Master says. I'm disregarding everything that I know in the natural. I'm stepping out of this boat and I'm walking where he says go. And he did okay as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But then, it says when he looked around, I think. Let's see. Now it just says when he saw the wind boisterous. He had to take his eyes off Jesus, didn't he? And he starts looking at the natural circumstances. Then what happened? Sink, but why? Because of your unbelief. The soul took lordship over Peter's own spirit. The soul said, no, 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 I know what's impossible. This is impossible. You have to sink. And he did. See, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Well, Peter believed at least for a while. And at the words of Jesus, he stepped out on the boat and he literally walked on the water. But then he started letting his soul gather natural evidence again. And as he got his eyes off of Jesus and what he said, the soul put limits on what was possible. And he began to sink. I thank God. Let me say it this. Gary, has anything like that ever happened with you? I'm really glad there's a prayer in there that says, Lord, save me. Sue and I stepped out on the water figuratively years ago when the Lord called us to do our ministry different than any ministry we'd ever heard of. In our case, he told us to give everything away free. Now, I'm not telling any other ministry to do that. What I tell you is listen to the Lord and obey what he tells you. But it is what he told us. Give everything away free. Don't even send out any appeal letters. In other words, letting people know what our needs were. And he says, as long as you do that, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support you and the ministry. Well, that was in, we stepped out full time in 1995. This is the year 2014. Never yet violated what he told us to do. And can you tell we didn't die? Okay. But I will tell you this. You talk about the winds and the waves boisterous. You talk about opportunities to get our minds off of what he told us to do. I've laid in bed at night composing appeal letters without even realizing I was doing it. My natural mind trying to come up with some way of fixing it. because there wasn't any, it didn't look like it was working. The financial waves were boisterous. Can I say it that way? And I feel like I was about to sink, you know. Lord, Lord. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll go ahead and tell that again. I've told it before, but it's good for you. The finances kept up with the expenses at least fairly well at first, for the first few years. But then once Sue and I appeared on the Sid Roth program, which he has a viewership of millions around the world. Once we appeared on there and we offered to give away 2 free cassette tapes, all they had to do was, anybody had to do was write and ask. And from that point, the number of requests for tapes greatly increased. But the finances did not. And so we suddenly had more expenses to get everything sent out than we had income coming in. Now, the Lord had never told me not to go into debt. I just assumed that. Okay. So finally, the day came, and we have pictures of this. We had bubble mailers full of tapes stacked in the to the ceiling. I mean, literally, Sue and I stood in front of it and took a picture of it, just to the ceiling. The bubble mailers are packed. They're labeled. They're ready to go. But we have no money for postage. And we're talking hundreds of dollars, maybe over 1,000 on that one. Well, what do? I prayed and I prayed. The silence, I got to tell you, was deafening. I didn't hear anything. Well, the training I had always received was, if you're not hearing God tell you to do something different, continue to do the last thing that He told you. Well, the last thing He told us was to send it all free. My soul had big problems with that. I'm telling you, my soul had 97 ways of fixing this. And I had to tell Him no, tell it no, tell it no, tell it no. So I didn't know what else to do. I just took out my Visa card and handed it to my daughter, who was the secretary at the time. I said, I don't know what else to do. He said, send them all free. Just use this card. Pay for the postage. Let's get those things shipped out. Well, that's fine, but then you run out of tapes. You got to use the credit card, buy the tapes. Got to buy labels, use the credit card. Now, there was some money coming in, but that mostly went for payroll because we had people working for us. Long story short now. And it was a long story. I'm trying to let you. This went on for about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. Where it was a deficit all the time, all the time, all the time. You talk about the winds boisterous. Well, that debt, worst kind, credit card debt. Y'all know, don't raise your hand, I know you know. I'd have to go back and get the exact numbers, but it was roughly $47,000. $47,000. I became that person that Dave talks about. I'd be driving around town. My lower lip would be interfering with the gas pedal. We were doing fine. We weren't in debt or anything. Then you come and you give us these instructions. Everybody told us we're crazy. I'm beginning to think we were. Give away everything free. Don't send out any appeal letters. Don't let anybody know the needs that we have. Oh, God, obeyed you. Now we're $47,000 in debt. See, and Sue and I, we only get paid if there's something left. We were going in the hole personally, a lot of money too, just grocery, just necessities, you know. Still, the heavens were brass. Heard nothing. But I don't have any quitting sense. I talked to Sue, and I got me a wife. Let me tell you, I got me a wife. He that finds a wife finds a good thing, and I found me a wife, you know. And we'd talk, and she'd say, because I'm just, I said, I can't disobey God. And she would tell me not to. She said, I don't care whether if we go bankrupt, we go bankrupt. I'd rather go bankrupt serving God and doing our best to obey what He told us. And if you missed it, I'm with you. If we wind up sleeping under a bridge or wearing a gunny sack. She would look good in a gunny sack or anything, by the way. Glory. We just kept on. We just kept on, see? And you talk about the winds boisterous? Without us doing anything. We never did send an appeal letter. We just kept doing what He told us to do. And the first big offering came. In those days, and it's still much today, I don't know, I haven't done an average in a long time, but in those days, the average gift was probably $15, $20, $25, you know, type of thing that would come in from people. We got one. Aaron called me. Daddy, we got a gift of $5,000. I said, really? Who? He said, well, it's this fellow's name. He lives in Australia. And I go, well, has he ever given before? She said, well, just a minute and I'll check. She checked. Yeah, he's given twice before. I may be slightly off on the numbers. Forgive me, it's a while back. One for $300 and one for $500. I said, oh, man. I bet he made a mistake. I bet he intended to give $500. You know how you can accidentally do that? I bet he intended to give $500. Man, I better call him. I better call. And I had to arrange it. I mean, you know, 6 in the evening there is like 2 in the morning here. And so I stayed up and arranged. And sure enough, I called him. Hello, how you doing? It's really awkward, you know. You know, it's small talk. Hey, you know, how's your family? Oh, family's good. How's your health? I'm feeling fine. How's your cat? Cat's good. How's your grass? Oh, grass is doing wonderful. Okay. We received this really large gift from you, and I'm afraid you might have added an extra zero. I said, did you really intend to send $5,000? I heard a sigh of relief on the other side. He goes, oh, you scared me half to death. I thought maybe I sent $50,000. Yes, I intended to send $5,000. And I'm going, well, man, we really do appreciate it. But can I ask you why so much? He says, oh, I've been saving up. That's all he ever said. Well, thank you. Well, that was the beginning. Boy, and I hung up as soon as the daylight came. I told Aaron, I said, you put that whole $5,000 on that debt. Put it. Don't use any of it for anything else. Put it on the debt. That's how it started. Within a week, we got one for $7,000 from somebody else in America. I called that one too. I didn't realize what was going on yet. I literally did. I called him. Same deal. I thought maybe you intended $700. You sent $7,000. No. I intended to send $7,000. I said, why in the world? You know, I don't think I said it quite like that. Trying not to act too surprised. Why so much? And this one, he's a businessman. He said, when you first started sending those cassette tapes, if you had charged for them, I could not have received any at all. We were struggling. Our business was not making it. But every time I'd ask for more tapes, you'd send them again. And you'd send them again. And they were nice. They would come and they'd be in this nice mailer and they'd be, you know, well done, professionally done. And you never asked for anything. And one time I told the Lord, I said, Lord, that ministry is really blessing me and my family. And if you ever make a way, we're going to bless them back. He wound up getting a large contract. He said, our turn to bless you. Called Aaron. Put all $7,000 on the debt. That went on for about a year. We started that year about $47,000 in debt. Now we're catching up. It's almost New Year's. I get a call from my friend Jin Ho, Pastor Jin Ho in Korea. And what he'd really called about was some details. I'd been working with him to help get copyright permission through T.L. Osborne and through Rhema to translate some of their books into Korean. He'd already translated Pastor Dave's. So he was really calling about some things for me to help him with that. And at this point, we were only about $1,300 still remaining of that debt. I think it was $1,310, I think. I could be. If you hear this on an earlier message, that one's correct. Time keeps going by. Roughly $1,300, though. So generally he's telling me about this and that. Okay, yeah, I'll handle that. And he says, oh, by the way, our church, we take up offering for you. We already send it by wire in your bank. Have a happy new year. Goodbye. Already wired it to my bank. Tacka, 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 tacka. If I remember right, it was $1,300. And yes, it was, it must have been $1,310 because I said, Lord, I have $10. And we finished that year debt free. And give him the glory. Now, I know that's not the same as walking on the water. You know, it's not the same. But we're getting there. You're getting, and there's so many valid points there. I had to keep my eyes on him. We had to remember what he said. Not be looking at the way, the plans my mind has devised. I don't even want to embarrass myself by telling, my mind is pretty active. It come up with dozens of ways to solve this problem. Now, thank God it never did start coming up with, this is sand from the Holy Land. It never did go that far, but my mind came up with all of these ways how to fix it. But what he wanted was for me to stay with what he told me. Keep my eyes on him. Not be moved by the winds and the waves of boisterous around me. See, and the reason he never said anything additional to me, he had already given me his answer. And it finally dawned on my lightning quick mind a few months after that event. And went, oh, Sue, he did what he said he would do. And she didn't seem surprised. I said, do you realize he did? What did he say in the beginning? If you will obey me, I will speak to the hearts of the people that I choose, and they will support you and the needs of the ministry. He spoke to that man in Australia. He spoke to that man in Florida. I didn't have to do it. He did it. He spoke to this one. See, that just kept on going. It kept on going. This one couple, they got an inheritance from relatives they didn't even know they had in Hungary. In Hungary, they live here. There's some kind of ancestor or something or other. They wound up getting $100,000. They sent us $10,000 of it. Put it on the debt. That just kept happening. And it wasn't all huge, but I mean, we'd get $500 offerings, $2,000 offerings from people some of them never have given before. Now here's the really supernatural thing. Like that's not supernatural enough. When the debt was paid, those large offerings like that stopped just as quickly as they started. Which tells me for sure it was him. And he did exactly what I didn't need another word from God. I needed to keep obeying the word I already had from God. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm telling you, yes sir. Some of you right now, it's a stormy night. The winds are boisterous. There's no moon and you can't see very far. And the enemy is telling you it's all over. But if you listen to that still small voice on the inside, he is giving you counsel what to do. But say, Lord, to do that would be certain death. Step out on the water where I can't even see where I'm going and everything is contrary. And yet that voice on the inside, it's giving you instruction. It may not come in an audible voice that you hear. See, your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Your spirit is the one receiving information from the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times, that's all you really have. You just know that to go that way, and you don't know how you know, but you know that's what he's saying. And you got to step out on the water. Again, when he says come, obey what he tells you. But once you've had experiences like that, your own experiences, whatever they are, your soul goes through a transformation process. I'm not afraid anymore. There's times now when the financial things come still yet, and part of me goes, shouldn't I be worried? I talked to myself, so how come you're not worried? Let me try a minute. You ever tried to work up worry? Come on, fear and torment, come. Come on, fear and torment like I used to have. Just can't do it. At least not in that arena. Why? Even my soul has been transformed. Even my own soul says to me, He's already delivered us hundreds of times. He is faithful. We can trust Him. Let's just go to sleep. Amen. See, there is a peace that passes all understanding. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. You give your spirit time with the Holy Spirit, He'll bring you to such a place of peace. With the winds raging and the waves boisterous, you still walk on the water. And that's where He's bringing us. Praying in other tongues is a great help to that. I never would have gotten those instructions. I don't think I would have. You know, God probably would have had to send a prophet. And that He'll do that if you're being kind. He would prefer to lead you Himself. He would prefer that your spirit get its leadership from His spirit directly. You got that? But if the, and Gary, I've been guilty of this, you know. But if the soul is just adamant, keeping you out of the prayer closet and keeping you out of this and that, God's not above sending a prophet to you. But that's not His best. Now here's one of the reasons why. If you receive it through a prophet, and you might, when the war comes, if you heard it indirectly through a prophet, very often, it's not strong enough in you to survive the war. You'll wind up compromising. But when you get it directly from Him yourself, see, Peter had to hear, come. Notice nobody else stepped out of the boat. Did you get that? Why? They didn't have a word from God. You need to get your word from God. You get it in your spirit first. Your soul may throw all kinds of impossible, 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 impossible. You tell it to bow the knee. No, it is possible. God says, I can do this and I can do this. Part of this goes all the way back to when He was... Remember when, two or three years ago, he had me make those in Him confessions? You know, our soul still has to go through that. Our soul has to bow the knee and agree that you are who God says you are. Regardless of all your failings and all your shortcomings and all your temper tantrums and all your this and that, you are who God says you are. You have what God says you have. You can do what God says you can do. Our soul is going to quit being Lord over us. It's going to get down off the horse and become the servant that it's designed to be. And our spirit is going to be directing our lives as the Holy Spirit gives Him direction. Revival is coming. I believe each of you is not going to be a wet water walker. I believe you're going to be a dry water walker. Dry water walker. Because you're not going to get your eyes off of what He... Not get your eyes off of Him, nor off of what He said to you. And we will have revival. Yes. In Jesus' name. Tulsa's in revival. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, sir. Just say this with me. Father, I am your child. All things are possible because I do believe. I believe you, Father. I trust your word more than my circumstances. I trust your word more than my reasonings. And I trust your word more than my emotions. I am your sheep. I hear your voice. And I will follow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.